So I'm sure you can tell by the theme and the music that perhaps tonight is not a typical episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff. However, I am calling this Geek Stuff, Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 268, the longest intro to a Game Stuff segment ever. And that is because, of course, Coke Logic has provided us with a new Game Stuff for tonight's episode, and you will be hearing that shortly. But first, I'd like to thank our sponsor, Superpower Collectibles, superpowercollectibles.com, for all of your geeky goodness, comic books, toys, statues, all sorts of stuff. Check out superpowercollectibles.com. Of course, use coupon code BIGKEV off a purchase of $50 or more, and you'll get yourself $10 off that purchase. So check out superpowercollectibles.com. Into the episode for tonight. I'm saving all the stingers and all that production stuff, and we're just going to talk about a couple of different topics. I have a follow-up to last week's episode, a topic I want to talk to you about regarding comic books, and a little bit of product stuff as well. Unfortunately, we had planned a full episode for tonight, but Big Kev was not even Big Kev. It was hard with the holidays. And I'm a little bit closer to Studio OG, as I like to call it. So I popped over and decided that I would do a little bit of solo work because the show must go on, as they say. So let's start with last week's episode. A couple of people commented that perhaps I did not expound upon or give my opinion as much as I could have on what I think about the whole Star Wars situation. My opinion on the Star Wars situation, in case I didn't make it clear last week, is that I think that in the right hands, with the right dedication and respect to not only the source material and the fan base, there are more Star Wars stories to tell. Both you want to expound upon prequel stories, if you want to go into the future past what we've seen in Jedi, there are more tales to tell. And we've seen some of those tales played out in books and novels, comic books, way, way into the future with books like Legacy, way, way into the past. I mean, it's there are stories to tell, and there are good stories to tell, and I am excited at the potential to see those stories make it to the big screen. But like any good geek and any good Star Wars fan, I am hesitant and walk on eggshells thinking about the possibilities of it being, well, horrendous. So that all being said, I think it's great. And while we're talking about Star Wars, I do want to address that EW article that was in, I guess at this point it was last week's issue of Entertainment Weekly, where they said that they were going to do 2 to 3 films a year. And I can't tell you how many websites like the Mary Sue or perhaps MTV Geek and a couple others, those are the two that for whatever reason are sticking out, but we're saying 2 to 3 Star Wars movies a year. Do we need this? Blah, 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 blah. My interpretation of that article, and I went back and I looked at it again. It doesn't say 2 to 3 Star Wars movie per year. My interpretation is not 2 to 3 Star Wars movies per year. It's 2 to 3 movies under Lucasfilm per year. Remember, Disney bought Lucasfilm, and we've all been focusing on Star Wars because that's the big one. But there are other films that could come out of Lucasfilm. Lucas just did that movie, whatever it was, a year or two ago about the Tuskegee Airmen. That was technically Lucasfilm. Indiana Jones are technically Lucasfilm. I think they are, at least. So 2 to 3 Lucasfilm per year, not 2 to 3 Star Wars movies per year. And for all those outlets that are reporting it as 2 to 3 Star Wars movies per year, that's just really irresponsible reporting, in my opinion. Maybe you have a different opinion. Maybe you should let me know if you have a different opinion. And if you do, that's fine. You can give us a call over at the GVM line, 425-920-6050. I would be happy to play your voicemail in a future episode, and you can Tell me if you think that I'm incorrect in saying that it's incorrect in saying that that it's irresponsible. But I my personal opinion is that it is irresponsible. Let's move on from Star Wars, though. I want to talk about Amazing Spider-Man. Now, I know that some of you have not read the most recent issue of Amazing Spider-Man, which is 698, I believe it is. Is that right? 698. Yep. Of course, written by Dan Slott. And the big spoiler alert, if you will. I just think that this isn't really as big as we're making it out to be. And I say that because I keep hearing that how huge the revelation was in 698. And Dan Slott a couple months ago said, stores haven't bought enough issues of 698. They need to order more issues because the revelation is going to be so groundbreaking and so big, and it's blah, 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 blah. All right. So if you haven't read the issue, then and you don't want to be spoiled, then I suggest, fast forwarding to game stuff. But if you don't care or you've read the issue already and you want to hear my thoughts, it's an interesting plot point to make Dr. Octopus Spider-Man. So pretty much what happens is Doc Ock is on his deathbed. He's been comatose since the End of Days storyline, which was, I guess, probably what, 4 months back now, 5 months back now? Because remember, End of Days ended, we had that whole Alpha storyline, then we had the Mobius storyline, the Hobgoblin storyline, and now we're back to Doc Ock in this story here. So he's been in a coma, or he hasn't said much in the past couple months. You haven't heard from him. He wakes up from his coma, he's on his deathbed. They think he has like a day left to live. He says the name Peter Parker. Spider-Man, aka Peter Parker, gets a call from the Avengers. He goes out to the raft to see Doc Ock, and somehow, through some sci-fi force of nature, Doc Ock switches bodies with Peter Parker. So Peter Parker is now the dying person inside Doc Ock's dying body, and Doc Ock's mind is now in Peter Parker, aka Spider-Man's body. That's it. It's an interesting storyline. Kudos. But it's not quite as groundbreaking as the hype led it up to be, at least in my opinion. Again, I think it's interesting, so I'm not faulting it. What I'm faulting is the hype that was surrounding it. And I guess this is going to lead into the Superior Spider-Man, I think. Is that the Marvel Now book that's coming in, whenever it's coming, December or January of 2013? So what I'm wondering is, oh, we should say Amazing Spider-Man ends with issue 700. So we have 2 issues left, and then we move on to the new book in the Marvel Nowverse. So is the new Spider-Man going to continue to be Doc Ock, and is Peter Parker going to die? If that's the big reveal, if that's what they're leading towards, then 698 isn't the big issue. 699 and 700 are the big issues. 698 is like, what is 698? 698 is like the first appearance of Carnage for Amazing Spider-Man fans. And by first appearance of Carnage, I mean Cletus Cassidy in the cell and a little bit of symbiote drips on his hand, and that was it. Then the issue ends. That's the first appearance of Carnage. The real first appearance of Carnage, of course, is the following issue where you see Cletus Cassidy actually become Carnage, the menace that he is. This is kind of like the teaser to the big story. So I think the hype is what's at fault here. What's my overall opinion of Doc Ock becoming Spider-Man? Well, there's no way that I believe that Marvel is going to do that as a permanent thing, which means it's just another gimmick, which is fine. It'll run its course. Peter Parker will come back, and we'll have Spider-Man again. And in the interim, we have to deal with yet another incarnation or another form or another variation on the spider clone, on Spider-Man is not Spider-Man. We've walked down this road before. It's very often not pleasant. but we deal, and hopefully we'll push through, and hopefully Dan Slott's writing continues to be good, and we can enjoy the ride, and then get back to Spider-Man, actual Spider-Man. The same way I think that Flash Thompson is not Venom because Eddie Brock is Venom. No one is Spider-Man unless it's Peter Parker. If Peter Parker is not Spider-Man, then it's not Spider-Man. That's just how I feel. You know? That's my personal opinion. So we'll get through this story. I don't think the reveal in this week's issue is quite as big as people made it out to be. It's interesting. I think it'll be a cool story, but I think it kind of dies there. All right. I had a bunch of product. Actually, you know what? Before we do that, we're kind of behind on some of our contests. We had the Rich Page, Dickie Page contest a couple weeks back, and I wanted to announce the winner of that contest. So congratulations to @TuckTim on Twitter. You are the winner of the Dickie Page contest. Send me your information, and I will send you that cool toy that Rich Page did. And of course, we're going to announce a new contest. I guess I can announce it tonight. We have a Jelly Empire contest. We have to give away. Sorry, I had to step away from the mic there. We have to give away a Super Jelly piece. Selena debuted this piece at New York Comic Con this year. And we have one to give away. We have some stickers to go along with that and a coloring book. So this is a whole nice Jelly Empire package. And you can win this contest. We're going to do this as a Twitter contest also. The rules are going to be you have to follow @GeekStuffOG, which is me, @BKGeekStuff, which is the show, @TheJellyEmpire, which is Selena, and you're going to just tweet the phrase, I don't know. something silly. How about Super Jelly or Jam? So hashtag Super Jelly or Jam, and you're going to tweet the phrase, I just entered to win a Super Jelly by the Jelly Empire, with hashtag Super Jelly or Jam. Of course, check the episode notes. I will put all of this in the notes, and I will make it easy. All you have to do is copy and paste, tweet it, and you can win. We'll announce that winner in a couple of weeks. Let's say 2 weeks from today, so the first Wednesday in December, whatever that is. I don't have my calendar in front of me, but the first Wednesday in December will be the date. I'll put it in the show notes. 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is when the contest will end, and hopefully you can be the lucky winner of that awesome prize. And again, congratulations to Tuck Tim for his win there. So back to what I was saying, I had some awesome product that I wanted to talk, about on tonight's show. These were some of the, Suckathon pieces from DKE Toys. I got two of those pieces, from DKE. It was the Doc A piece, and the Scott Tolleson piece, the two artists who I probably collect more than anybody else. And unfortunately, due to some issues with FedEx, I don't have them for tonight's show, but I should have them hopefully for next week's show. So we'll talk about those a little bit more next week, and I'll give you some details about where you can get them. What I do want to talk about, though, tonight, I wanted to talk about the Dunny Apocalypse series that Kid Robot just released. Some great artists in this series: Patricio Oliver, John Paul Kaiser, Chris Raniak, Mishka, Jesse Hernandez, Ron English, Sam Fout, Huck G, Kronk. Kronk has two pieces, a variation. Jermaine Rogers, Hydro 74 also has a variation, and Joe Ledbetter. There are really four in this series that I want pretty bad. I want the Joe Ledbetter, which is the ultra rare, ultra chase, and I'll probably never get it. I want the Huck G, which I don't think is quite as rare. He's 2 of 16, so that's a common, I think, in this set. I also want the John Paul Kaiser and the Chris Raniak. I mean, I'd love to have all of them, but if I could pick four, those would be the four. Through the interwebs and the Evil Bay, I was able to secure Chris Raniak and the John Paul Kaiser. Unfortunately, I don't have the John Paul Kaiser here yet in the studio, so maybe we'll address him later. But I do have the Chris Reiniak. You know, Kid Robot is continuing to really push the Dunny lines, and I think it's really great. They're really being a bit brazen with the platform. And the Reiniak piece, you know, he's kind of got like a melted eye. So the eye is kind of like melting out of his face, and he looks kind of like goopy and goo. And there's some nice texture to the goop and goo. It's a nice vomit green color. I'm excited about this piece because I finally could say that I own a Chris Reiniak piece. He's an artist who I really wish that I can own more work from. I mean, I have one of his books from his My Plastic Heart show a couple years back. And sadly, I just normally can't afford his pieces. They tend to be awesome in nature, epic in nature, but pricey, and they just are outside of my price range. So at least now I can have a Dunny. I got it at a reasonable price, and I can have something of his in my collection. The one place where I think this failed, and this isn't Chris's fault, I don't think. I would think it's more of a Kid Robot thing, is this is the perfect color, texture, and style to be glow in the dark. And it's not. This absolutely should have been a glow-in-the-dark figure. Or there should have been a variant glow-in-the-dark version of this figure. When you see it, and you should hopefully be looking at some pictures of it right now, you will say to yourself, yes, this figure should be glow-in-the-dark. I can't imagine you would not agree with me. A great lineup of figures. Chris's figure is awesome. I really wish I had the John Paul Kaiser here, because that's pretty fucking awesome too. But we'll talk about that one next week. With all of that being said, I think I want to wish everybody a very happy Thanksgiving. And hopefully we will be back next week with a full-length show. Hopefully I answered your questions and concerns regarding Star Wars. And hopefully, you know, some of you can weigh in on what you think about Amazing Spider-Man. And also what you think about the Dunny Apocalypse series. I'd love to hear what you have to say. And if you happen to pick up any of the Suckathon collaborations, let me know about those as well. Which ones did you pick up? Which ones did you want? There are a few more that I want from that line that I may try to snag. I really want the October Toys one as well. It's really cool. I don't know. There's a bunch of really cool ones, but I can only get two for now, and I had to go with those two. Of course, speaking of October Toys and Toy Break, the OMFG Series 2 figures, I think, should be coming down the pipeline soon. Those should be rolling out in the next couple of weeks, so we'll have those on the show to talk about. And I think that's it. So again, happy Thanksgiving to everybody in Geek Stuff Land. Don't forget to check out the Big Kev's Geek Stuff store, bkgs.storeenvy.com. All of our Rich Page exclusives did sell out, but we still have some of our stickers over there. You can grab those, and hopefully some more stuff coming to the store in the future. Of course, you can check us out online, Facebook, facebook.com/BKGeekStuff. Please like the show, comment on the posts, be part of the community. Follow us on Twitter, @GeekStuffOG and @BKGeekStuff. And of course, if you're a fan of the show, you've been listening for a while, and maybe you want to support us or throw us a bone, we do have that PayPal donate button. Load us a buck. We'd appreciate it. It all goes back into the show's coffers so that we can continue to bring you not only shows, but contests and content in the store, and hopefully more con appearances and things of that ilk. So we appreciate those donations, of course, if you've given us to them. And with that, I am going to leave you with the voice of Coke Logic with a brand new Game Stuff. Take care, farewell, au revoir.
Ahoy, hoy, and welcome to Game Stuff. I'm your host, Coke Logic. The Wii U has arrived, and while most online stores and retailers are sold out, new units are being replenished. So if you look hard enough or wait around, there's a good chance you can find the console. Which is the way it should be, opposed to companies shorting the supply to drive up demand and paying an assload on eBay. The launch lineup is a mixed bag of new games and ports from over a year ago. Notable games are New Super Mario Bros. U, Zombie U, Scribblenauts Unlimited, Ninja Gaiden 3, and Call of Duty Black Ops 2. Games to avoid would be Darksiders 2, Mass Effect 3, Batman Arkham City, and Epic Mickey 2, The Power of Two. Not only can you get these games dirt cheap on any other platform, but they're not even close to the best versions of these games. Unless you need a new video game system this holiday season, it wouldn't be the worst thing to wait to buy a Wii U. So on Christmas morning, just tell your children what the man on the podcast said. I'm sure they'll understand. Last show, there were so many games that came out, I forgot a few on our segment, Play It, Don't Play It. So let me make up for that while I overlook a few more games. First off, XCOM. Play it. Remember that old PC game that people loved? I don't, but a shocking amount of people do, and they loved it. Now with the 2012 remake, people are in love all over again. And I agree. XCOM is a fantastic real-time strategy game that leaves you thinking about strategies long after you've turned off your system because all of your team members are dead. I highly recommend XCOM, and I hope someone ports it to the iPhone. Dishonored. Play it. Even if it didn't set the world on fire, it's still an enjoyable game with a very appealing art style. It's a first-person stealth game, but it's not quite Deus Ex. There are multiple ways to complete your objectives and multiple ways to screw the system. I wouldn't recommend paying full price, but with the holiday sales kicking in, Dishonored is the perfect game to pick up for around $30. Epic Mickey 2, The Power of Two. Don't play it! I know, you like Mickey and Disney and you want to play it, but don't. It's not a fun game. Although it's great to see the wonderfully rendered Mickey Mouse and Oswald the Rabbit, what you're supposed to do in any given level is never clear. The basic controls are slow and sluggish. Mickey controls and lands like he's a 500-pound man, and using paint thinner to reconstruct the world just feels meaningless. Trust me, you're going to see Mickey, and you're going to think it's a fun game, but it's not. Don't play it. Hitman Absolution. Play it. I'm calling this the sleeper hit of the holiday season. It plays great, it looks great, it's the most accessible entry in the series, you can take out your target in so many different ways, the replayability is awesome. I highly recommend you play Hitman Absolution. And finally, PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale. Don't play it! Alright, that's not entirely fair to say, because I haven't played this game, why should I suggest you not play this game? Okay, for one, it looks like Sony said, here's all your beloved characters in a Super Smash Bros. Ripoff. And the people responded, well, these aren't beloved characters, they're just characters that were exclusive to PlayStation. There's a difference between school kids fighting over who gets to be Link from Legend of Zelda in Super Smash Bros. And Sony just inserting Cole from Infamous 2. Play it or don't play it, it's your loss. This is Coke Logic signing off for Game Stuff.
And on that note, we cue the music.
I got a Spider-Man t-shirt. I got Converse that are running off my feet. I got a bad mustache, a reoccurring rash, and not a lot of cash to spend it on my stash.